Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
World famous Bill Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Welcome to the show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. The free Phil Hendry podcast. Visit us online at philhendryshow.com. There'll be a link there for our podcast. It will originate as well over at philhendryradio.com. And while you're over at philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass. You can watch our live streaming video cast of the show right now. We are on Phil TV in HD here at the El Pacifico, and you can also watch it on demand up to 5 days. We have a five-day video archive. We have thousands of hours, over 10 years. That's over a decade's worth of full three-hour shows. So when I say that this is it's a virtual Phil Hendry library, to the extent that you're interested in that kind of thing, we've got it at philhendryshow.com. Our number again, 877-876-PHIL. Oh, by the way, if you've got a Phil Hendry fan in the family, if you want to decorate the house with Phil Hendry mugs or something, I don't know, visit our shop. We have a souvenir shop. We've got the brand-new Bobby Dooley keychains. We also have, of course, our ever-popular Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies and lots of stuff there at philhendryshow.com in our shop. Margaret Gray is going to join us tonight because she's been working on a story that apparently has borne some fruit, and we're going to talk with her right now about it. She is in Santa Monica this evening, and I think you've just come from work, Margaret.
Yeah, Phil, I've just been over from Angelica Dicklin's office, and we are on this story. I got to tell you, it was a bolt out of the blue today.
Well, what we're talking about is a former police officer claiming to have solved the mystery of San Francisco's Zodiac Killer.
The mystery of the Zodiac has been solved, Phil. He is a 91-year-old man living in, I believe it is, Solano County, California. We don't have his name. Again, we do not have his name. But this is a former police officer who says he has finally solved the mystery. Lyndon Lafferty, L-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y, says the killer is this 91-year-old alcoholic man, by the way, Phil, living in Northern California. He will not name the suspect.
Now, this is the former police officer, a San Francisco police officer?
A former police officer. I'll check to see what agency he worked with. I believe he was San Francisco Police. It might be a smaller agency. As you know, Phil, there are a number of different police agencies working on that case. In the late 1960s and early 1970s. So it's possible that this officer, this Mr. Lafferty, did indeed work for a different police agency other than San Francisco PD.
All right. Now, you know, there was another suspect that I think they'd been talking about.
Yes, Mr. Allen was the name.
Allen. What is his full name?
The man that you're talking about, and they also mentioned him in the Zodiac movie, was cleared. His name was Arthur Lee Allen. He was a local man linked by way of circumstantial evidence that also included the fact that he owned a typewriter of the same make as that used to write the letters, and he also wore a Zodiac brand wristwatch. DNA evidence, I am told, Phil, ruled him out as a suspect. But that's really neither here nor there. What we're talking about here is this new evidence and this new suspect. Again, he has not been named.
Well, can I just jump in with a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to know one thing. If you've got the information, Margaret, you do, you don't. DNA evidence. Now, we're talking about 1970, 71.
Yes.
When these murders were committed. What DNA evidence did they have of the Zodiac?
You know, Phil, I don't know. We do know that the police have cleared that man, Arthur Lee Allen. They say, and I'm looking at the report from ABC News, that he was cleared of DNA evidence. What we're trying to do now, this is explosive news, and it is the fact that this case has been solved. And
well, it's okay. I understand that.
I'm a reporter, and I have been reporting on all kinds of news, including crime news, for a long time. Yes, I started out as an actress, and I have I've done a lot of things in entertainment. But I'm a writer now, and have been for many years. And I'm telling you that this is one of the biggest breaks and probably the big story of the year.
All right. Okay, so what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is Margaret Gray is with us. A 91-year-old man who is identified, you identify him as an alcoholic.
I don't identify him as an alcoholic. Lyndon Lafferty. Lyndon Lafferty is the man. He identifies him as an alcoholic. He lives in Solano County. He's 91. And apparently, the evidence is very, very, very strong.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray, and we're discussing the possibility that that the Zodiac killer that terrorized the San Francisco Bay Area over a period of years, actually. I mean, the man had sent these letters to the San Francisco Chronicle. He'd sent letters to local television.
Yeah, and he also had sent letters to, I believe, the police, taunting them in much the same manner that Jack the Ripper did, almost 100 years before. So the psychopath, being a grandiose and self-involved and narcissistic individual, the psychopath loves the attention and loves to control. And that's what this Zodiac was doing.
All right, but we're talking about that. The time frame is what?
I'm sorry?
What was the time frame that the Zodiac Killer was killing?
Well, you said it. It was 1970-71. Getting back to this man, though.
Right. So this is the man, Mr. Lafferty.
Right. Getting back to him, the former police officer, Lyndon Lafferty, says the killer is a 91-year-old alcoholic man. Mr. Lafferty will not release his name. He claims the killer is 91 years of age, and he does not want the identity. He will not name the killer for safety reasons. He does give him the pseudonym George Russell Tucker. He doesn't use the name because of privacy and safety. The man is still alive. And
okay, again, he's not using the name, though.
The man is still alive. Can I finish?
I'm sorry.
The man is still alive and living in Solano County. He claims that he and other law enforcement officers, whom he collectively calls the Mandamus Seven, investigated the suspect in the early 1970s, but were frustrated by the power brokers in Solano County, who stymied their efforts and, he alleges, protected the killer. Now, that's fascinating. That is absolutely fascinating.
What do you, when you say that they were stymieing efforts, what does that mean?
Well, it's possible that this man that is being protected is a former very important person in Solano County, California, and that Mr. Lafferty, Detective Lafferty, and his colleagues were stymied or were frustrated by their superiors because they did not want the identity of this man revealed. So I just feel I find this fascinating stuff.
And, all right, we're talking with Margaret Gray.
And I want to finish a thought here. You're jumping in a lot.
I apologize, but I do have some questions.
I understand you have questions, but you're jumping in a lot, and you're stepping on things that I'm saying. I've got a lot of important information, Phil. So if you wouldn't mind, just allow me to get it out, and you can ask whatever questions you want to ask. This is a very, very big story. You know with the Zodiac Killer.
Absolutely. I mean, I was in high school when that happened. I remember the case. I remember how scared to death everybody was. I remember it was frightening. I followed it, Margaret.
Well, you may have followed it. Yes, you followed it. And I'm glad that we have responsible consumers of the news like yourself. I'm a reporter. So that takes it from the level of I followed it, Phil, to...
No, I'm not trying to disrespect your abilities as a reporter at all. I guess I'm taking my cue from you. I'm being as discriminatory as I can, or discriminating, I should say, as I can.
That's a nice left-handed compliment.
It's not left-handed. Wouldn't you want me to ask questions?
Well, I would want you to ask questions of people that you know. I would want you to ask questions, Phil, of politicians, of individuals that you know lie and lie lie almost as if it's the air they breathe. Me, I don't think you treat that way, and sometimes I get that feeling.
No, I do not believe you're lying.
Well, then allow me to say what I have to say without you jumping in and trying to steal a little bit of the thunder here.
I'm not trying to... I'm sorry, Margaret, if that's what you thought I was doing.
Well, that's what it feels like. I've got the killer. I've got the Zodiac killer. The Zodiac killer.
I understand.
Well, no, I don't think you do understand. This man put fear into the hearts, and we know who he is. The identity, okay?
Yes.
Of the Zodiac killer. And I'm just asking to be heard.
All right. I need to take a break.
Naturally.
Well, Margaret, I do have to take a break.
Yeah, I know, and it's very convenient for you.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as Margaret Gray tells us about the discovery of the Zodiac Killer. Forgive me for qualifying it. Forgive me for not being as definite as her. There are questions that I have that I'd like to ask her, and we will right after this break. But the Zodiac Killer, which was a serial killer in the Bay Area in the early 1970s, she is alleging has been, quote, discovered. Okay, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry. She'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray has joined us, writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. Her column, A Little Bird Told Me, appears in 150 newspapers across the country. I don't mean any disrespect, Margaret. I understand that David G. Hall is going to join us here in a moment. Look, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job. I just simply am trying to do mine, which is to ask, whatever questions I can. David, go ahead.
I want to echo here what Margaret's saying. Give her an opportunity to say what she's got to say, and what I would say is we've got enough problems in the media today. As you know, women are not treated well. I don't need to, we don't want to be perceived as having that cross to bear as well. Look, talk radio is already perceived as a racist, sexist matrix. A racist and sexist hole where these white devils live, I don't need one more host coming on here.
Look, and I full well I'm not being sexist.
Can I finish my thought? Because I know you cut the lady off, but I'm just saying a talk radio is already perceived by a great many people as this, really just this garbage can of racism, sexism, and stupidity. And I don't need a host, one of my hosts, coming on and giving the impression that he is, he thinks that's funny. And, Phil, I've known Phil for a long time, David, and I don't think he intends that.
No, I don't intend that.
Hold on, Phil. I don't think he intends that. I think he's caught up in his role as Mr. Talk Show host, and so... I think a lot of these guys don't want to be seen as, giving it up to a woman.
Yeah, and that's been a problem.
Yeah, and so I think...
Just not to interrupt you, but that's been a problem with a lot of hosts. They want to make sure that the woman's kept in her place.
Can I jump in?
Hold on, Phil, please.
So what I would advise Phil to do is just to, if he wouldn't mind, keep his mouth shut long enough so I can get out some of this information. I mean, we are talking about the Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer. We're not talking about some candy store stick-up. We're not talking about some...
I completely understand it, Phil. I think you need to have sensitivity to that.
I have nothing but sensitivity to that.
Well, that's not what I heard. I heard you jumping in and asking questions.
Can I ask questions?
You can ask questions after she's finished making the point that, yes, they've caught the Zodiac Killer. You keep trying to dig into it. I just heard you going into that break. Well, maybe, allegedly.
That offends me. That absolutely offends me when you will not, because I'm a woman.
No, it's not got nothing to do with you being a woman. It's just, you have a book.
Hold on. See what I mean?
Bill, would you please? I hate to say this to you, Phil. Would you shut up?
Thank you, David. Because I am a woman, it doesn't mean you get to interrupt me and say, well, she says she's got one thing, but trust me, folks, it's something else. You don't get to do that anymore, Phil. As David said, talk radio, and I'm a liberal, and I don't mind saying it. And to me, talk radio is, it's like a piece of meat that's been left in the sun and is now filled with maggots. That's what talk radio is.
I am sorry that you feel that way.
Well, you know, is it any wonder, given what has happened in your media, Mr. Hall?
I apologize. I hope that we can, at some point, make it up to a lot of people.
Well, right now, I think a lot of Americans see talk radio as a place where only a stench, almost like a septic tank, you know? If you've ever walked by an open septic tank.
Well, and we're trying to make it different. Okay, Phil, now you can talk.
Wow, I mean, where do I even begin?
Don't give it a big editorial build-up. Now you can talk.
All right, I'd like to know, if you don't mind...
Whoa, wait. You can give your opinion. She hasn't finished.
Well, what do you want me to say here?
You can say what you were trying to do and that you were wrong and then let her take over.
Okay, what I was trying to do is answer two questions. I wanted to know where they got the DNA evidence.
You see what I mean?
Come on, Phil, get with it, will you?
And what am I doing wrong?
Don't start in with ripping her report to shreds.
This is exactly what women are up against. And I am absolutely sick to death of it.
I apologize.
I am sick to death of coming on these shows with a very important series of facts and revelations and having a man like Mr. Henry say, well, but you know...
Ms. Gray, you said that...
I'm not finished. I'm not finished. Not by a long shot, my friend. Now, I'll tell you this right now, David. I am going to hang this phone up, and I'm going to leave these airwaves until you get this host that you've got here under control.
Listening to her?
Yes.
So you can, you know, whatever question, you wait to the end of what it is she's got to say. All right, I'm going to go, and I appreciate it very much, Ms. Gray, for being on the show.
Well, I'm hopeful that there is a resolution to this problem, and one that, obviously, we can talk about.
Okay, David is not here, so...
So what I was saying is simply this, Phil, that the Zodiac Killer has been identified. Again, the Zodiac Killer has been identified. His name has not been released because, if you let me finish, there are safety concerns and there are other concerns. He's a 91-year-old alcoholic... And his name was kept from the public by certain members of the police department to protect his standing in society, which may very well have been that of a judge or something more powerful. But now, Lyndon Lafferty is ready to reveal the name once, I believe, the safety is assured. So this is terribly exciting, Phil. It's groundbreaking news. I don't know what you could possibly, why you would want to take away from people this moment of happiness. This man murdered people, and one of the people that he killed was a young lady that he just stabbed and stabbed, and her boyfriend watched. He was tied up watching, Phil. And now this dirty, filthy old drunk is living up there in Solana. Well, have yourself another drink, Mr. Zodiac, because you're about to be taken down. I'm Margaret Gray.
May I ask my questions?
Yes, you may. It would be nice if you waited until after your commercial break. I understand that you have one coming up, because I don't want to have to give half answers, if you don't mind.
I understand that. I think I could ask a question. We'll give you time to answer it.
What?
The DNA evidence that they say ruled out this one man, where did they get the Zodiac's DNA?
I don't know. Is that...
But they, if they have the DNA...
I don't know, Phil. That's not important.
All right, hold on, please. 877-876-PHIL. The Zodiac Killer has been discovered. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray from the Declan Syndicate talking to us tonight about the discovery of the Zodiac Killer.
And Phil, I take note of your tone. I really am offended by it.
We don't have any real proof that this man is the Zodiac Killer, do we?
And what do you mean by we, Phil? As my father used to say, if you got a rocket in your pocket, who's we?
I mean the American, the people of California, the district attorney, the people that represent us.
We have the great work done by a police officer named Lyndon Lafferty, who identified against all odds the fact that there are powerful people. Do you understand? You really don't get it, do you? That there are things going on in this country and in this society, you can't know. There are very powerful people, and there are very powerful things going on.
Right. Yeah, and Margaret...
What do you mean, right? Yeah, I know... So.
But because you know how I feel about conspiracy theories, and you know how I feel about a lot of these things. I don't buy them. I don't buy 90% of them. And I don't believe that this man... What is the DNA evidence?
It doesn't make any... Are they police?
I'm asking what...
Are they police that were investigating this?
Yes, the police did.
Then they know where they got the DNA evidence.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Margaret Gray.
What Mr. Hall had said to you earlier, I think, holds. You are treating me, because I'm a woman, you're treating me like I'm stupid. And
no, I'm not. I'm asking you questions that I would ask a man were he on the air himself promoting this point of view. Vincent, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hey,
Phil.
I love your show.
Well, I do.
And
thank you.
First off, a lot of people have been identified as the Zodiac Killer over the years. And first off, where the DNA came from was from the Viejo letters and the San Francisco Chronicle letters that Zodiac actually sent to these publications.
Well,
okay.
Only one man was identified that was given any real credibility, and that was Arthur Lee Allen.
Well, you know what you said. I've heard that you've followed this case for a long time, and actually know.
Yes, I have,
actually,
and I know that
they have actually
the original book that was
many
written.
Many suspects.
Yeah, I know they have many suspects.
And you know what?
This is the guy they kept following on.
I hear you're ranting and raging.
Are you a writer?
About,
are you a writer? Are you a writer?
Will you let this man at least say what he wants to say?
No, I'm not a writer, but you know what? I'm an enthusiast, and I've followed this case for a long time. And
well, so have I, and I'm saying to you that, yes, I know there have been many suspects. I'm not disputing that with you. But they kept coming back to Arthur Lee Allen over and over and over, including mentioning him in the movie, the most recent film, including in the book, the original book.
Okay, do you know what book that was? Do you know who wrote that book? Robert Graysmith wrote a lot of fictional things that came out in the Yellow Book. It's called
Robert
the Yellow Book.
Graysmith.
It's called Zodiac. And a lot of the things in that book were false. So,
Like what?
In Robert Graysmith's book, a lot of these facts are false.
In
if
that
you go
book,
back,
he identified... Are you crazy? I mean, there's not... He mentions the stamps. He mentions he even mentions in that book the attempt to extract DNA, even though it was written in the early 1970s.
Zodiac, he mentions him as Robert Hall Star. And again, here's someone else mentioning, like, using a fake name to identify Zodiac. But at the end of the day, it all came back that Arthur Lee Allen was not the Zodiac because of DNA, because of recent DNA testing. Now,
where did they get the DNA?
He just told you they got the DNA from the letters.
His DNA came from the letters, but they got, when Arthur Lee Allen was found dead in his apartment, they took brain cells from him, from his autopsy, and that's where they tested it against Zodiac, and they found out that he was not Zodiac.
I know he's not Zodiac. I'm saying to you that this new guy, the drunk, is the guy.
Well, why do you believe that?
Yes, on what evidence?
What?
You got a fictitious book.
Are you kidding? This is the one thing that nobody's looked. This is what I can't take. I think it's
name and blaming somebody. Until you can come back with hard evidence, then you know what? Zodiac is not identified. I'm sorry.
Who is Zodiac? Do you know who Zodiac is?
I don't,
and
nobody does.
Who is? You know what? There's thousands of books about
Black Dahlia. They know who the Black Dahlia is. It's that woman, Elizabeth, what's her name? They know who she is. They don't know who killed her.
Who was the killer? Come on. Use your common sense here.
It's probably the cop or the DA.
What? Probably what? You know, can we get some hard, fast facts here? I've got all this probably.
Bill, you don't know what you're up against here. You and this young man, you guys, you get your head so far up here, you know what? This is a very... these are some power...
No.
Are you laughing at me?
In the United States, you need evidence, not hearsay. What you're getting in this new book is hearsay.
Right, right. And I got to tell you something. In the day and age of, in the post-9/11 truth era that we live in, I'm getting more and more suspicious of this horse dung about how powerful people are covering things up. You know, I remember this was the early 70s, back when they had a thing called a credibility gap, and when Watergate was about, people wanted truth.
Credibility gap was a comedy group.
No, it was a term used by the press in those days to say somebody's lying to us.
Well, if you're talking about me, friend, you better smile, because I don't lie. And neither one of you guys has come up with anything.
Oh, you know what, ma'am? I don't think you're lying. I just think you're misinformed, and you're getting zealous about a book that has no basis on fact.
You know, I came on this program with good faith, thinking that I was going to be allowed to make my case. And I get jumped by
you
two.
And
it's almost I'm being assaulted. And I know it's not a sexual assault, but in many ways it feels like one.
And what are you talking about?
You know what I mean. It feels like the two of you are controlling me physically as well as mentally.
I'm just bringing you facts, ma'am. I'm not bringing you hearsay. I'm bringing you actual facts about the case over the years. And you're telling me about a book.
It feels like Bill is holding me down, and you're having your way with me.
Oh, come on!
No, this man.
That's what it feels like.
Wait a minute.
And when it comes to sexual assault, that's the most important thing.
This man is saying that the hard and fast facts are few and far between here, man. We have DNA that does not indict Mr. Allen. He's done. He's out. Man's dead. Goodbye. We have pictures. We have descriptions. We have, obviously, the wounds of the victims, what the victims went through. We have the letters. We don't have a whole hell of a lot. And you have some cops that did some pretty sloppy... You know that one cop, Vincent, who was the cop that sent one of the Zodiac letters himself? That was pretty whack.
Toshki.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know...
He was played by Mark Ruffalo.
That's nice. He was played by Mark Ruffalo. Whatever. But that guy... Yeah?
Are you interviewing a... Oh, my God. You're interviewing a caller, not me.
I'm asking the guy one question. What was the guy's name?
His name was Detective Toshki.
Right. That's the guy, and I don't imagine he retired with full honors, did he?
Actually, you know what? When he got into a scandal about the Zodiac letters, and they removed him from homicide, but you know, not to take anything away from him, you know, he was a great detective, and he did a lot of great work for them.
And I wonder why did he do that with the letters? Was he trying to get some notoriety, trying to make some money?
Well, you know, I think maybe that was a misunderstanding because a couple of things that I guess he maybe got a little high in the limelight and he wanted his name back in the paper. So he did a few crazy things.
Thanks for your call, man. Thanks very much.
Right,
I appreciate it. There's Vincent. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk to Margaret Gray.
I am absolutely offended.
Okay, so we got David again. What are you offended by?
I'm the guest being interviewed by you, and you spend a old home week here with Vincent. Vincent. Tell me all about it, Vincent. And tell me, Vincent, where does the sun come up again? Is it really in the east, or does it... Oh, my...
Okay, so we got David on the line. David, I was simply asking that young man...
When are you going to get it that I'm trying to run a... We're trying to run a company here where we are not a bunch of sexist pigs. Now, you've got a lady here on the phone that is a reporter who wants to be taken seriously, and you're having yourself a coffee clutch with a guy calling in. I don't want to be called away from my dinner.
I apologize, David.
David, and he's been doing, ever since you got off the phone, he's been doing it. I don't want to be called away from my dinner. Can I get some more butter and some more of that bread? Make it hot. The hot, yeah, you're bringing stale bread, for God's sake. Get your act. Hey, I'm not even in the mood now. I was going to sit down. I was going to have a nice dinner here at the market in Pasadena, but now I don't give a, I don't care at all for about anything. I have lost my appetite. I've lost my interest in life almost, it seems like. David, I would not let that upset you, but what I am saying is, Bill needs to be reminded of who the guest is. You know who the guest is, right?
Yes, I know who the guest is. How could I forget?
Oh, my God. You're being smart-ass again.
No, I'm not.
God. You know, I came in here. I'm in a lousy mood. Hey, you, where's the bread? I want it hot, too. You know how the hot bread... Hold on for a minute. The bread. I want it warm, and I want it on my table. No, you're not. You're standing over there with a toothpick. Go get me bread and bring me that butter. Not that... If you bring me margarine. You see what's happening?
Is that my fault?
You better believe it. You better believe it. I apologize, Ms. Gray. Go back to your dinner, David.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to... on the line in Southgate, we have Mavis. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Mavis, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm calling. I want to talk to this lady about it. I have never heard in my life a rude woman like you. I'm not being rude, but you shut your mouth. Now you tell people shut up, now you shut your mouth. Can I say something? No, you may not say nothing. I don't want to hear you say nothing. I have heard and heard and heard. I listen and listen and listen on my radio tonight, and I listen every night. And I've never heard a woman come on any radio program like I've heard here tonight, like a woman like you, talking all this garbage about everything. Mr. Henry trying to ask a question. You know, can I tell you something? I am a liberal Democrat, and give a damn if you remember the American Nazi Party. I don't give a damn. The Nazi Party? I'd like it better if you was a Nazi. I'd love it. Yeah, I'd love that. I think I'd trust you more if you was a Nazi.
You trust me more if I... Are you hearing this, Phil? I take it that you're black.
Why do you think I'm black?
No, you're not going to trap me that way.
How do you think I'm black? I demand an answer, you Miss White liberal.
I'm not going to answer that. I'm just going to say I am a liberal, and I don't know why you're finding fault with me. I'm trying to stand up for the rights of women. And
you know something? You, as far as I'm concerned, you're a day late, the dollar short on that. And I don't need you standing up for me. I try to get Mr. Henry, and I want to know who the Zodiac is, because I remember the Zodiac very, very well. When I was in San Francisco back then, my husband moved up there and worked. And Robert here, who worked for Mr. Henry, too.
Robert's here, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember when the Zodiac was in the news. And I thought I was like going to load up a pair. I don't tell you right now. When they said about the Zodiac, I thought I'd load one up.
I don't understand load one up.
You like, well, I'm not going to, I'm a lady. Unlike you, I'm a lady. I'm not going to say. But I remember I took about 3 pairs of clean underwear with me, and I thought I'd load 2 when I heard about Zodiac Killer.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know something, Margaret? You're always talking about streaking. So
how dare you bring that up now? Talk about streaking. Well, you got, if you talk about streaking, don't you worry about me loading one.
I load them. Listen, I've given birth to 7 children. I've seen them loaded. I've seen diapers. I've seen all kinds of load jobs.
Well, you know something? I've never in my life been so insulted.
And I'm going to tell you something, lady. I think you have been insulted. I think you're not going to tell nobody that.
All right, look, I've got to take a break. Mavis, thank you for your call.
But I want to say one more thing. Do you have bumper stickers or do you just have those cheap coffee?
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Talking with Margaret Gray, we've had David G. Hall. And we're talking about Margaret's allegation that the Zodiac Killer has been found. Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but I don't see, just as that last gentleman said, I don't see the hard and fast evidence of that. So we're going to continue with our line of questioning here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate as we talk about the Zodiac Killer, a serial killer that was active in the San Francisco Bay Area between 1969 and 1971. And I believe the death toll was seven or eight. I don't know, Margaret.
I'd love to give you this information, but you have interrupted, and I think it's unfortunate, Phil, that you've allowed your own lack of ability as a reporter to cloud the discussion.
I apologize to the extent that I've not allowed facts to come out. How many people are attributed to the Zodiac Killer?
What does that mean? How many people?
How many people did he kill?
Phil, that's something that the police know.
Well, you followed the case.
Yes, I have followed the case very closely, but I don't, off the top of my head, I don't keep the kind of, I don't fixate on things that are, quite frankly, that are disturbing and ghoulish. I fixate on the science.
So we don't know how many people he killed.
Well, you don't, but I do, and...
Well, how many?
I don't have the number with me.
Well, from what I've read, I thought maybe it was a half a dozen.
Well, you can't say that. You're not a reporter. Boy, you really are trying to make this... You're trying to confuse things.
I'm just saying, from what I've read, it seems to me that maybe it was six or seven. I don't know. I'll have to look it up myself. Here is Josh on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing today?
Fine. Thank you very much.
Good deal. Margaret, how you doing?
Hello? Yes?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Now, I don't know...
I think that the number of victims are five confirmed dead and two injured.
Five confirmed dead, okay.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how many people he killed, that's all. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Margaret, I don't know this squad about this Zodiac Killer from 1969 to 1971.
Oh, my God. Then why are people who don't know anything about it, then why are you calling up?
Why am I calling up? Because it's very frustrating when I hear another caller that has, seems like they have more information than you have, and you're sitting there shooting them down.
I beg your pardon? I'm a reporter.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're a reporter.
Thank you.
Dedicated your life to this Zodiac Killer, but yet you don't have.
You know something? He was a serial killer that they didn't catch.
Hey, how about letting me finish? You don't have the basic facts when somebody asks you a question about, let's say, how many people he has killed.
You gotta love a guy that says he doesn't know anything about the Zodiac Killer, and now
what you don't know or what you do know.
That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
Obvious thing. It's a painfully obvious thing. I mean,
what is it that you ask me? Ask me something about the Zodiac Killer, and I'll tell you.
Well, I asked you, and you.
I'm not talking to you, Phil.
Oh, see, there you go. I mean, if you don't agree with what you're saying, you're automatically wrong. Phil is trying to get some basic facts,
and you
can give him a straight answer.
Well, go ahead. Ask me anything.
Him or me?
The caller. I want you to ask me something.
Okay.
Why can't I?
What I say when I first got on here, I don't know a thing about it.
Right. You do want to ask me something. All right. Phil, ask me something.
Did you say the caller or me?
Yes.
Okay, right. I'm trying to get educated. I'm trying to get some good knowledge on this. But every time somebody would call in or Mr. Phil would ask something, you cannot give a straight answer.
I most certainly... It's not important to know how many people he killed, so who cares?
Who cares? You got a
Is he a serial killer, or did he just kill one person? I mean, come on.
I think if I said he's a serial killer, that means he's killed more than one. I think that goes to the basic intelligence of the situation.
We got that basis down. Okay, he killed more than one person. But you've been reporting on this. You've been studying on this, correct? For how long?
Yes,
how many years have you been doing it?
Since I started writing in 1982.
But that's 30 years.
No kidding. Yes, 1982.
And
now the Zodiac Killer was active in 1969 through 1971.
Right, that was in Wikipedia.
Oh, are you ready for him? That was in Wikipedia. I'm a reporter. I don't need Wikipedia.
Now we're out of time.
Of course you're out of time. You're always out of time. You know, sir, if you want to know more, follow my column in the Dicklin Syndicate. And I'll have more information for you. Obviously, I can't get the information out the way I want to put it out there. And it's unfortunate because, you know, years ago...
Okay, thanks a lot.
How dare you cut...
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is going to continue here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL. More news to come.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Just a reminder that, you know, we have a free stream of the preceding night's first hour on our website. So if you are not a subscriber to philhendryshow.com, you can still hear at least 1 hour of the preceding night's show. Just look under recent shows. You'll see there a archive for our video as well as our recent shows, say within the last week. It's a 5-day archive, and then the audio goes into our much, much bigger archive. But we also have a free hour of the show available so you can listen, as well as philhendryradio.com, where we have live streaming archive material 24 hours a day. So if you want to get a taste of what's in our archives, you can go there. Get a backstage pass. You also get to see live streaming video of our show. Right now, we're on Phil TV in HD. It's a great picture. I mean, I ain't the best looking guy, so maybe the picture, yeah. But you can see how the show is performed. We also have behind us the Pacific Ocean. It's all really cool and groovy. So anyway, you can do that. We have our News and Information Hour coming up next hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. A little note, we have our first ever free Phil Hendry Show podcast, which is going to be happening on Monday, and we will let you know where you can go. We're probably going to be using SoundCloud, so you can access our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast, through SoundCloud. There'll be a link as well on our Phil Hendry Show homepage. And I believe we will link it as well from our philhendryradio.com page. 877-876-PHIL. Ron Turner is going to join us, Dr. Turner, from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado in a moment. But to give you the setup, there is a man, and this man believes that he can build a starship. That's right. In the television show, in Star Trek lore, if you will, the first Starship Enterprise was built in the year 2245, but today an engineer has proposed and outlined in meticulous detail, including a number of schematics that I believe I was looking at when I pulled this story, building a full-size ion-powered version of the Enterprise, complete with 1G of gravity on board, and this man says we can do it within 20 years. The guy's name is BTE Dan, Build the Enterprise. The name of the website is Build the Enterprise, and he goes by the name BTE Dan. So I guess we don't know much more about him than that. He identifies himself as an engineer. He calls it the Gen 1 Enterprise. He says it could get to Mars in 90 days, to the moon in 3, and could hop from planet to planet, dropping off robotic probes of all sorts en masse, rovers, specially built planes, and satellites. I guess there's one thing in here that I don't see, and that is the warp factor, what do you call it? What was that?
speed of light.
No, it's the speed of sound.
No, it wasn't. It was the speed of light, bud, the speed of sound. We already know how to break the speed of sound.
We do?
Yes. The speed of light, which is, I think, warp factor one is double? I don't know. Why would I even be talking about this? Let's get Dr. Ron Tarner on here from Mountain Meadow Observatory. He's in Denver, Colorado this evening. Ron, how are you doing tonight?
Phil, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to try to figure out what some of these people are talking about.
Have you seen the story?
Well, I took a look at the story, Phil, when your young man there called me and said that you ought to be on the program. But I'm glad that you have had me on the show, because this has been an area of great concern for myself and others for quite some time.
And when you say great concern, what do you mean?
Can I just mention something to you?
Yeah.
You always say, when you say this, is that you have a way of... I'm not in a good mood. Let me start all over again. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not in a good mood.
Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad at you, no.
All right, I can restate the question.
No, it was a perfectly good question. I'm in a foul mood, and I'll tell you why I'm in a foul mood. I really feel very strongly about this, Phil. The Trekkies and the Star Trek Enterprise and the Star Trek TV show has done so much damage to our culture. It has done, and I know there's people who are thinking that they don't know what I'm talking about.
Like me.
All right, like you, and I'll explain. The obsession that we've had with the starships and Klingons and the, Chaplain Kirk and the things that...
Captain Kirk, you mean?
Captain Kirk. And the things that are associated with the starship television program have so preoccupied grown adults, have so preoccupied otherwise... contributing members of society, I believe, is so destructive, and it has harmed us. It has warped our view of the future. It has warped our dreams. You can't think of the future now without this ridiculous television show. So when you told me about a man saying that he could build a Starship Enterprise, I would love to debate him. I would love to debate him. And I would love to hear from him just how he's going to do it. And after I read your story, I tried to send an email to this website.
This is the Build the Enterprise website.
Yes, Build the Enterprise. And this man, BTE Dan, and I'll read it to you. And here it is. Dear BTE Dan, for want of a better term, this is what I'm assuming you would like to be called. I have a name. My name is Dr., and I underlined that, Ron Tarner. You'll notice, BTE Dan, that I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor in astronomy. And so your wanting to build a starship is right up my alley. Hint, hint. Okay. I go on to say, I don't think you can build a starship any more than I think Mickey Mouse made broomsticks walk in the classic Dumbo movie. What did I write here? I should write Dumbo.
No, not Dumbo. It was in the movie Fantasia. What did you write?
I wrote the Dumbo movies. Fantasia?
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute. In Fantasia. Okay. I don't think you could build a starship any more than Vicky Vowse could make a drumstick walk. Boomstick. What is it called?
Are you writing the letter now?
No, I wrote the letter.
Then what are you doing?
Excuse me? Phil, I came on your program to tell you about...
You know, I don't want to get in an argument with you, but I already went through this with Margaret. I have to control the show here.
I understand that.
Okay, are you writing the letter now, or did you already write it?
I thought I was in a bad mood.
Are you writing the letter now?
No, I already wrote it.
Then what is this walking drumsticks?
They're broomsticks from the movie, the Mickey Mouse. What was the one that Mickey Mouse? Not Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse from Walt Disney.
Yes. And a broomstick walked. And let me tell you something. The way I felt about that movie, and I didn't say anything to anybody because I figured they'd arrest me, but do you remember the story of the man who was taken into a precinct house by the New York City police and sodomized with a broomstick?
Yes, I do.
Well, I was imagining that when I was a 10-year-old boy watching Fantasia, only Mickey Mouse was the recipient, and the broomsticks were holding him down, and another broomstick was having a go.
And when you were 10?
Yes, I did, yes, because I'm sick and tired, even at the age of 10, of a Fantasia and a Mickey Mouse fantasies. And so, Phil...
You know, that's a disturbing thing for a 10-year-old boy to think, and very disturbing that your problem with the Star Trek conventions and so forth extends beyond Star Trek.
Nobody said anything about conventions yet.
Well, that's why you're on the show, because you're going to tell us about what happened at the convention.
I'm not even close to getting you to the convention yet. There's things I want to say. All right, Phil, I'll grant you that it was an abnormal thing. Not abnormal.
I think it's very abnormal. Very abnormal for a 10-year-old boy to sit there thinking about Mickey Mouse being sodomized with one of the very brooms that was walking down the castle, you know.
What do you mean, castle?
Was that not the Sorcerer's Castle?
I don't know. But, you know, your knowledge, Phil, of... I'm talking to Henry. Dr. Spock is here.
Dr. Spock?
No, not Spock. Sprague. S-P-R-A-G-U-E.
I was going to say Spock.
Yeah, I know you did. You think I'm talking to Mr. Spock. Do you understand?
No, I thought you said Dr. Spock, the baby doctor.
Baby doctor? What the hell is... Okay, Jim Spock is here. He is a cartographer... working with Mapping the Sky, and I call him Dr. Sprague, even though he's not a doctor, but you called him Dr. Spock, and that's the guy on Star Trek.
No, it's Mr. Spock is on Star Trek. Dr. Spock was a baby doctor whose book was purchased by millions of American women for the baby boomer years.
Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Your mother probably had a copy. My mom did, too.
Well, Mr. Henry, when you mentioned my mother... Smile, okay?
I'm not being disrespectful. Wow.
Just, you know, when you mention my mother, smile.
I'm not being disrespectful at all.
When you mention my mother, smile.
I'm smiling. And I have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Well, we got a couple of people on the show tonight. It is loaded for bear. We'll be back here with Dr. Ron Tarner on this guy who claims he can build the Starship Enterprise. I'm assuming that Dr. Tarner's got a serious, serious problem, not just with this guy, but with all Star Trek fans. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Ron Tarner is with us, Dr. Ron Tarner in Denver tonight as we talk about this guy. He's a Star Trek fan, I guess. He's an engineer, and he started a website called Build the Enterprise, BTE, and his name is Dan. That's the only name that he goes by. Have you seen this?
Well, yes, I saw the article. I saw these alleged schematics. I'm embarrassed that any man with any education, if this man is an engineer, as he claims he is, I'm embarrassed for him. It's one thing, Phil, to call yourself a Trek fan and act like a fool.
Why the hostility?
My hostility?
Yes.
And why do you call it that?
Well, because you don't want me to get into it.
No, go ahead. We can talk about it.
All right. You were at the Star Trek convention last year. And keep in mind, there's a lot of them, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. I was at the Star Trek convention. They must have 12. They must have one for every month of the calendar year. They had a Chicago convention. They had one in Philadelphia. They had another one in Las Vegas. They're having another one in Vegas this year. They have another one in Los Angeles this year. I have never seen a group of adults... more interested in avoiding reality, avoiding the responsibilities of life. No wonder our country is in the shape that it's in. Nobody is minding the store. Everybody's at a Star Trek convention. And I know that that sounds like the punchline to a joke, but in point of fact, Bill, it's very real. And
so you were in Chicago last year.
Oh, okay. I'm very sorry, Phil. I'll get to the point. I know I'm boring you.
No, I was very interested in what you had to say, but I wanted to get us back to...
I was in Chicago, yes.
All right, you were at the Star Trek convention in Chicago.
Yes, last summer.
Okay.
And we were doing TAT, which we call tit for tat, and that's not dirty. That means that we are reciprocating the Star Trekkies for what they've done to our culture. And
what is TAT?
That's Trip a Trekkie. And it's a very innocent thing where you stand at when we were in Chicago, and they were at the main ballroom there at the Hilton in Chicago, not the Hilton, at the Hyatt, which is right on the lake there. And
yeah, I was there, I think, for our NAB.
All right, so you know the hotel.
Yeah.
All right, and I was there, and you would see these Trekkies go by, and they would be dressed in any kind of a costume of the television show. And if you got an opportunity to stick your foot out and trip one, you score a point on our website. And I'll give you the details of the website later. But Trip a Trekkie was...
So you were counseling people on your website to basically assault.
Oh, Phil, you're...
Well, that's what it is.
No, it is not assaulting anybody. It's tripping someone. And
if you trip someone and they fall and they break an arm...
No one broke an arm. And you know what? Before you say another word, this is exactly what's wrong with our country. We got people walking around in their costumes. We have people that want to sue for the least little... So you can walk around in your asinine costume and say, let's build a Starship Enterprise, while the American economy goes straight to hell. To hell. Hell. You know what hell is, don't you?
I know my version of hell, yeah.
Oh, what's that, listening to me?
No, I didn't say that at all. Why would you take that person? I know what my version of hell would be.
All right, I don't know whether, you know, I've been assaulted since I came on this program.
I'm not, let me just say this, Ron, okay? I'm not assaulting you at all. I'm asking you to get to the bottom of your, you despise Star Trek people. You got pushed out of this or escorted out of this convention last year.
Yeah, I was escorted. I wasn't pushed.
All right. For tripping people, part of this Trip a Trekkie, and I are you telling me that that's not a reasonable thing for me to say, that if you trip somebody, what if they break an arm?
I'm telling you the following thing. I wish you'd listen to my point of view, which is this. You have these people, while the American economy, American workmanship, the American, by everything that's going on in our country, we are at an all-time low when it comes to proficiency, when it comes to production, when it comes to the quality of the things that we do. We would rather dress up in a rubber mask. Okay? And if you want to take it, and I don't mean to be funny, if you want to take it to the extent, not only the rubber mask of a Klingon, but the rubber mask of a sexual deviant that I don't know how many husbands or wives may assume on any given night in this country. So, you know, what we're saying here is essentially the silly things that we...
The rubber mask of a sexual deviant.
Yes, the rubber mask. What I'm saying is the silly pursuits. And the Star Trek pursuit, and that's why we were tripping people.
Are you going to be tripping people at the Vegas convention?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now they're forewarned, aren't they?
I don't care. You know, all you got to do is stand there and wait for a crowd of people to go by. And when there's a crowd of people and a guy has on a Klingon head, you can trip him and no one's going to see it. This is a very small thing, Phil. A very small thing. When you consider what these, forgive me, what these bastards have done to our culture and to our country.
The Star Trekkies is what we're talking about.
Yes, and you don't need to play it dramatic, and you don't have to give the long pause, because I already know what you think. But if you listen to what I just said, I think I very eloquently described the time they waste, the destruction to our culture, the destruction to what we consider to be truth and possibility. Yes, I called them, yes, I'll say it again, those bastards.
877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is joining us here from Joyful Union. R.C.'s up at Bradley Military Academy, excuse me. And he is a junior cadet. R.C., how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for having me on the program.
Okay.
My question is to your guest, Dr. Turner, is it, sir?
Yes, Dr. Rod Turner. Yes, sir.
My question is this. I'm a military academy cadet at the Bradley Military Academy, and we don't do a lot of science studying of it, but we do enough. Are you saying that the idea of an ion-powered starship of the kind that the man was saying he could build, are you saying that that's impossible?
I am telling you, young man, that it may be within the realm of possibility, but what he thinks it can do, you see what I'm saying?
And, well, he's saying that it could drop people off on different planets.
Well, it may be able to drop people off on different planets. But what are you dropping people off? It's not like it's a bus service. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, not exactly, sir. What he was saying.
What I'm saying.
Well, hold on. But what the man? Excuse me, doctor. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
What the man was saying was the Starship Enterprise could fly to the planets and deliver cargo, much needed cargo, for the colonists or what have you.
What colonists are you talking? This man said that.
Well, I'm assuming that we would colonize. For instance, the most logical planet would be Jupiter.
Son, do you know anything?
Please don't call me son, sir. I'm gonna die for our country someday.
Hold on. We got to take a quick break, gentlemen. We'll be right back here with our caller and with our guest, Dr. Ron Turner, as we talk about some guy that wants to build a Starship Enterprise, and Dr. Turner, who says Trekkies, all of them are, quote, bastards who have eroded our culture and have distracted us needlessly. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Can I finish?
Well, yeah, but it's just the fact that if a guy's in a spaceship and you land on the planet Venus, you're going to see some things you never.
Phil Henry.
Oh, crap.
Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory, and I know that Dr. Sprague is there. Is he a doctor or not?
He is not a doctor. I refer to him as Dr. Sprague because it's an inside joke between us. He's a cartographer, does a mapping. He has a master's degree in that, but he does celestial or star mapping. But the reason why I even mentioned him was because it sounds to me, Phil, as if you are making a case for the Star Trek rubber, you know, what I call the rubber heads.
And no, but I just didn't understand your hostility.
My hostility is the following reason. We are in a culture today, the American culture, the country is doing very poorly. And instead of figuring out ways that we can help our country, we have people in a rubber with a rubber mask on. What is hard to understand about that?
I'm wondering, though, is it just not them entertaining themselves?
Entertaining themselves is going to a movie. Entertaining yourself is, forgive me for saying this, I think the hour is okay. It's masturbating, if that's what you want to do. That's entertaining yourself.
And, that was a really nice thing to say.
Well, Phil, I'm trying to talk as plainly as I can. It's not running around with a Klingon wig on. And
so that what you're going to do is go and trip people and get yourself escorted out again. You may get arrested this time.
Why do you say that?
If somebody may think it's assault.
Well, if I get arrested, I lay it right at your doorstep, sir, because you're the one that called it assault. You're the one that has introduced the word arrest. So now you've upped the game.
Oh, no, I haven't upped any game, Dr. Turner. You're the guy that's going to be standing there tripping people as they walk through this convention. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Rick. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Rick, go ahead.
Yes, hi. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Good. I just want
to... I get arrested, though, I blame you, Mr. Henry.
You can blame me all you want. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm up in Alaska here. I listen to you guys every night, and I'm kind of blown away by the way the...
Give me a Coca-Cola out of that machine, will you?
We got a caller on the line, Dr. Turner.
I'm sorry?
We have a gentleman talking.
I apologize. I wanted to send somebody to get me a Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of blown away here by the way... You're the host, right? And
I'm the host, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they won't let you talk and get your two cents worth in...
Hear that? Thank you. Thank you. Hear that, Dr. Turner?
And what is your name, sir? You're Rick?
Rick,
Dr.
Yes.
Dr. Turner, Rick. Yeah, Rick, the reason why Mr. Henry gets interrupted, I'm a doctor, and I'm talking about a guy, Mr. Henry wanted me to read an article about a guy who's building a starship. Can you believe that? Now, I'm simply saying that building a starship makes me hate Star Trek more than I do.
Right. Right, right.
Well, what are you laughing at? Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. No, I'm not laughing. I'm sorry.
No, I heard you. This is what it sounded like. You went, you had, there was like a laugh. It was like what I call a laugh breath.
Well, I wasn't laughing. I was breathing there. You know, it's pretty cold up here in Alaska. I'm sitting by a window. But anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to.
Well, Mr. Henry is a good man, but I think when it comes to Star Trek, I have a little bit more information. Have you ever watched the TV show Star Trek?
Oh, sure have.
All right. And I'm sure you've enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the first 8,000 times I saw it. But when I started seeing conventions and people walking around with pointed ears, I began to think, isn't there something better they could do with their time? And when I asked them about it and they ignored me and continued to have conventions, that's when I went to the one in Chicago and I started to trip some of them. You followed me so far?
Well, yeah.
All right.
I was when I called. I was talking about the Lady Margaret talking about this.
I don't know who that slut is.
Whoa! Watch the language, okay?
Well, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I can't believe the way the callers treating the host to the show. You know, telling him to shut up, not letting him get his own opinion.
Mr. Henry talks far more than he should. He's the host of a show, yes. But that doesn't give you the right to just talk over me. You see? So
why not?
Who's talking now?
Me, the host of the show, Mr. Henry. Why not?
Because I'm a doctor, and you're a guy that...
I'm a guy that what?
You sit and you go blah, blah, blah on a radio all day long. That's what you do. Me? I look at the stars. I map the celestial heavens. I do something for science. You sit, and you do nothing for Rick here, who wants to hear something substantial, and instead he hears you going la 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 all day long. Is that right, Rick?
No, I don't.
You got it back?
I don't agree with that.
I beg your pardon. So in other words,
what he's saying is he appreciates what I bring to the radio, and you're just a guest. Now, my understanding is Margaret Gray, did you get her back, bud? We have Margaret Gray on the line, Rick, if you want to talk to her. Margaret?
Yes.
We have a gentleman who takes grave exception to the way that you talk to me.
Well, I don't care. I don't care. I feel I can't even believe I'm back on the radio with you.
Well, this man thought you were rude to me.
I was rude to you. Oh, Frank, you hear that?
I don't understand that. This is Frank Gray. Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry. And Rick, you there?
Yes, Dan,
and I have Rick.
Who is Rick?
Rick is one of my listeners.
Well, Rick, you're saying that my wife, someone that I love dearly, and I've been married to him now for almost 40 years, you're saying that he was rude to Mr. Hendry. Is that what you're saying, Rick?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Give me the phone.
Margaret.
Give me the phone.
He's the host.
I wasn't rude.
He's the host
this
of the
is
show.
Margaret. This is
Margaret.
Wait. She's the host of the show. Yeah, I understand that. But my wife was making a point about...
No, Mr. Henry's the host of the show.
That's what I said. Mr. Henry's the host of the show.
Oh.
My wife was... My wife was making a point about the Zodiac Killer and how she killed all these people. And my wife said to Hendry, why was she not allowing my wife to finish? See? That's what I thought, that she was being rude to my wife, that's all. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so, reasonable people can disagree. I'm sure you would agree about that. But when my wife has been covering the Zodiac Killer for years, and he comes on this show to talk about it, and the host of the show immediately starts to discredit him by asking a lot of questions that only a police officer would know, I think that makes him look bad, and she's doing it just to make herself look big. See what I say about it?
I still don't agree. I mean, he's got to get his opinion in sometime of the show.
Yeah, hi, this is Margaret Gray. You see, he asked how many people did the Zodiac Killer kill? I don't know. Then he said, where's the DNA evidence? I said, I don't know. So I answered his questions. And I answered them as well as I could.
You don't know is not...
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, I'm not talking to you. God!
Look, Hendry, why don't you shut your mouth while my wife is trying to talk to her?
See, this is what I don't like, and this sours my taste for the show, but I'd like to keep listening to it,
Do you understand what Frank just said to Phil? All he said was, shut your trap.
Yeah,
well, my wife
host on national radio.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rick, for speaking up for me.
Thank you, Rick, for speaking up to me. You know, Phil, you're such a child.
You know, I'm getting Rick. Get out of here. I'm hanging up on her. Anyway, Rick, I appreciate. Is Dr. Tarner still there, bud? Make sure Dr. Tarner doesn't hang up. Rick, you're a very kind gentleman for calling and defending me. It happens. It comes with the territory, as they like to say.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good night.
You too, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Ron Tarner, you there, Ron?
I'm right here. Thank you for... I didn't want that guy to start yelling at me. And that Gray and that husband of hers, what happened to him?
You talking about the gender confusion?
The gender, is that what that's called? He kept talking about her as a him, and he is and him as a he, or Hugh.
You?
No, Hugh. Is there a guy named Hugh?
No. What are you talking about?
Well, he was calling you her. Doesn't that bother you?
He has a problem.
I know he's got a problem. I know he's got a... Well, the first problem he's got, he's married to her. The second problem he's got is he doesn't know whether it's a her or a him.
Well, that's the way you put it. That. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show, talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner about the, this. Let's get back to the Star Trek stuff we could, bud. Get our host, get our guest, rather, reconnoitered, reoriented. We'll be right back. The Phil
Truth
Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Everybody that I know.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Tarner, I hope you won't mind. We've had people calling who want to address themselves to Ms. Gray, I guess.
I don't understand why I'm on your program, then.
Because people want to talk to me. Because they want to know... Obviously, we were talking about Zodiac.
No, well, the reason why they want to talk to you is for the same reason the last gentleman. They feel you're rude to me.
Phil, I'm not interested in how you stack the calls.
I know that you could do that, can't you, Mr. Henry?
Do what?
Stack the calls and make them all come out on one side.
Yeah, so that they all are in favor of you?
No, we're not stacking any calls. The people just call up. Let me get to this gentleman here. His name is Jimmy in Indiana. Jimmy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. She's very rude. She acts like she knows what she's talking about, but I don't think she's got a clue on what she's doing or what she's saying. And Her husband.
Well, are you familiar with the Zodiac killer? Do you know?
Yeah, sure am. I actually lived in California when that was going on.
All right. So, well, then what don't I know? I mean,
he asked you questions and you kept on going off in another direction. You answer the question what he was asking. You kept on saying you didn't know. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, he's asking stupid questions.
Well, he's asking questions that he wants to know, though. That's what he's there. That's his radio show. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to know the question.
Exactly. That's my job.
Hold on, Jimmy. Phil, I got to ask Bill. I got to ask the host of the show to shut his mouth. If you won't shut your mouth, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're asking me to shut my mouth.
I can't hear the gentleman. What did you say, sir?
I was very interested in what you guys were talking about, and when he was asking you questions, you didn't know what he was... I mean, you didn't have a clue on what he was talking about. You kept on avoiding the question. So how can it be his fault for you not knowing what you're talking about?
Well, it's not that I don't know what I'm talking about. He was asking irrelevant questions. Do you understand that they have found the Zodiac killer? We should be celebrating.
Right, and instead...
No, they haven't. No, they have not found the Zodiac killer. Let's be very clear.
How dare you?
There's no name that's being attributed to this man. There's no... I don't know what evidence they have. They've got DNA evidence that you... This is what Jimmy's talking about. When I asked you, where did they get the DNA evidence?
What difference does it make where they got the DNA evidence? Who cares? Why? If you'd asked me a relevant question, I'd be able to answer it. But Phil Henry asked me nothing but ridiculous questions. How many people did he kill? Who cares?
I care. I don't know how many it was. If it was 50 or 100 or 10, it made a big difference.
Go ahead and ask me a question about the Zodiac case, and I'll give you the definitive answer. Ask me any question.
Okay. You said they had DNA evidence of the guy who did it. But he's an older guy that's a drunk, right? That's what you were saying?
No, they don't have DNA evidence.
They don't have the DNA
evidence. Would you shut up, please? I'm answering the man's question. They don't have DNA evidence of him. They have DNA evidence showing that one of the suspects they've cleared.
Okay. Okay.
No,
not the one you were talking about.
No.
They don't have any DNA.
I'm going to say it one more time, Phil.
It's my show!
Are you talking to my wife again like that?
Hey, Frank, why don't you go sit down and take a nap? Jimmy, the DNA evidence that they had, they got off of one of the envelopes that was mailed to the San Francisco Chronicle by the Zodiac Killer.
Right, right.
That DNA profile that they lifted did not match the number one suspect that they did have at that time, a guy by the name of Allen. Then
right.
Mr. Allen, after he died, they held on to some of his DNA, and it did not match. So they exonerated, if you will, that man after his death. So we're back to square one. We don't have a Zodiac killer, but Margaret's talking about a guy in Solano County, 91 years old, an alcoholic, and we don't have a name.
They can't release the name.
Why?
There are very powerful people who don't want it released.
See, that's the kind of horse dung that I just can't... I'm sorry, man. It sounds like a bunch of conspiracy theory bullcrap. Who are the people?
If I could name them... Do you realize that if I named who they were, I could probably be killed?
Oh, sure. That's a very convenient thing to say.
So you want my wife to die?
No! The thing of it is if you want to keep a conspiracy theory going...
Oh, Phil, you're confusing people. This man, Jimmy, doesn't know what you're talking about. Do you understand, Jimmy, that the alcoholic that we're talking about, we can't give you his name because he may be a former judge that powerful people are protecting still 40 years later, even though a lot of them are probably dead?
You would think of somebody, no matter who it is, they'd want to know who it is. I mean, that's...
No kidding.
That's the public's right to know.
And the other thing is, what you're saying here, Margaret, is you're not only saying there's powerful people, you're saying there's police officers involved in covering this up. And you don't have one single shred of evidence.
It's all in Lafferty's book.
It's all in his book. So why don't we all run out and buy his book?
Are you calling me a shill?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm calling you. You're shilling for this guy's book. That's what this is all about. This cat, I could buy his book tomorrow, read all this, and it'd be the same swill I've been reading for the last 40 years on the Zodiac. He ain't any closer than anybody else.
Well, you just called the woman that I love a show. You know, I've known this woman for a lot of years, and he's never, ever compromised his integrity. And that's what you've just said.
That's right. That's what I've said.
Hey, Phil, I appreciate you taking my call. I got to go.
Thank you very much, sir.
That hurts. Now, as to Jimmy and what he did...
He's hanging up.
Well, I don't blame him for hanging up. If I were Jimmy, I'd hang up, too. The things that he's done in his life...
Get out of here. Thanks, Jimmy. So, to recap, by the way, is Dr. Turner...
Dr. Turner's really mad.
He's mad?
Yeah, you're supposed to be talking to him, and he's on the hall with Mr. Spock.
It's not Mr. Spock, it's Dr. It's a guy named Spock. I don't know who the guy is. Hold on. Hey, Ron.
Yeah, hey, Rod. Hey, Rod. I'm sitting here on my thumb. I got Spock here, he's gone down, I got me five Mountain Dews. What the hell is going on?
I'm sorry, it's fallout from the last hour we did, where we were talking to Margaret Gray. I apologize.
You know, what's the point of me coming on your program? You want to talk to her about some crazy idea she has concerning the Zodiac Killer. Meanwhile, I'm on the phone with good, solid, hard evidence that a Starship Enterprise could be built and land on Jupiter. Now, what? I don't understand.
Uh-huh. All right.
So I'm nuts, am I?
What is that, man? I didn't call you nuts.
No, but that uh-huh is the, we got a wild one on the line. That's what we, hey, Sprague, you hear this? Yeah, Sprague knows.
Yes, Sprague. Is that Mr. Sprague or Dr. Sprague?
No, it's Dr. Spock, remember? What a freak. You know, Phil...
All right, so he's hung up on. So that's great. So I don't think that we've cut off so many people in 1 week since, last week. Unbelievable. Just to recap, folks, there has been no Zodiac Killer arrested. There's been no Zodiac Killer identified. This individual that Margaret Gray was talking about is a guy that's in a book. Some guy, some cop wrote a book. He won't give the guy's name. And you know why he won't give the guy's name? Because he could be sued. He could be sued for slander. He could be sued for libel. That's why he, not safety and all this other crap. If you name a guy and say, this guy's the Zodiac Killer, this guy's going to sue your ass off. So he's going to sell his book, and I think it's a load. I've heard these conspiracy theories before about how, oh, they're protecting a judge, and it's a guy who did this. And something. This was a serial killer. And plus, if this guy's 91, that would make him in his late 40s, maybe early 50s when he committed these crimes. Convenient, huh? All right, we'll be right back. Our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445 and philhendryshow.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are a news talk and I can't say it. It's just too tough.
Entertainment.
News talk and entertainment, but entertainment show that knows what it are talking about. And, of course, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now... this hour, Robert Greene was going to be with us last hour because part of what we were talking to Dawn about has to do with a right now a lawsuit that I think or a labor action of some kind that's happening at his store and at a couple of other stores. One of his customers and Fraser Foods engaged in a legal tussle at this moment. And it goes right really to the heart of what we were discussing with Don Berman. And he seems to think, Don seems to think, and we're going to get Bob on here in a moment, too, that, you know, if a woman enhances herself, and we're talking about breast enhancement now, that it is, I guess it's appropriate, or it's not rude, or however you want to put it, Bob, to say something about it, correct?
Well, that is our contention, Mr. Henry, and the first thing that I would say is we have a 40-year track record, long before I owned the stores myself, a long track record of treating our customers, especially our female customers, our mothers, our wives, with great deference and respect. And so it was with a great deal of disappointment that we received this legal action from Mrs. Kalita and her attorneys.
Tell me, from your standpoint, as you understand it, what happened?
Well, Cindy Kalita, Mrs. Kalita is a woman, a longtime customer of ours. I've known her for a couple of years. She's come into our store and has shopped for her family. She's been here with her kids. She's been here with her husband. And she's been here alone. And at all times, we've treated her with great dignity and respect. When she arrived at our store in early January, she had apparently had gone through an enhancement of some kind of surgery. A breast enhancement is what it was, but I can't tell you what types of implants or what it was. But it was obvious to myself. It was obvious to our assistant manager, Jerry Dugan. It was obvious to a number of people in the store who were there that afternoon that she'd had this some kind of enhancement. I know that Wayne Tedeschi was here as well. When she came into the store...
Now, why do you say it was obvious?
Well, it was obvious to us because we, as I said, we'd known Mrs. Kalita for a length of time, and we had known her to be a woman that was... she didn't have this kind of augmentation before. She had been a very small-chested woman. It's quite striking, and it's going to, obviously it's going to be something you'll notice when you see a woman for 2 years who has been is very, very small, and when I say very small, I mean, and as I told our attorneys, there's nothing, hardly anything there, and
all right, okay, I understand.
All right, so when she came in to the store on the 8th of January, now a woman that we had known as, I don't mean any offense by it, a woman who was flat or flat-chested, now she had this very obviously enhanced breasts. So I noticed this. She went into the produce section. I was in the produce section. I was stocking, helping out in there with Mike Berg is our produce guy, and we were stocking the produce. And I thought it was, first of all, very striking that she came in. I said, I believe that's Cindy Kalita. And Mike said, yeah. And I said, it looks to me like she's had some kind of breast enhancement. And she comes right into the produce section, and she starts buying or weighing melons, which we thought was amusing. We didn't say anything to her. It was a joke between men.
Okay.
Finally, she came around to where we were working, and I said to her, and I want to get my notes out, I said, well, I happen to be stocking, and she was wearing a tank top, and I said, you look very, very becoming today. And she smiled, and that's when I put my hands out in front of my chest and made the rounding motions with my hands like, it looks like you had something done there. And that's when she used profanity.
Do you remember what she said?
Yeah, she said basically the F you, and said that I was rude. I said I didn't mean anything by it. I said it was, you have to understand.
Well, the her attorney says you made some crass comment. Her attorney characterized it as crass. Something about BBs on a billiard table, something like that?
Well, I said to her, when you come in here, you have been, you're very small, and now you're getting here.
Did you say to her, though, that she, you made the, that comment?
I don't think I did. I don't think I did. I said, I didn't mean anything by that. I said, you've always been, I guess I said flat-chested. I did say that.
You understand, this is kind of a weird conversation to have with a customer.
Well, I look, it may be a weird conversation to have with a customer. It's also very weird to be in the store one day with a flat chest, and then the next week you come in, and you've got this huge, it looked to me, and I checked with Mike, and he affirmed, it looked to be either double C's or a firm D. Now, again, I checked with Mike and also talked to Gabriel Nowalski, who is one of the truck drivers that was there.
Yep. Well, what do you mean you checked with Mike? This isn't some professional...
Yeah, you're right. I was just saying it was a kind of a guy thing.
Right, but it's got nothing to do with you checked with how big... You're saying that she had her breasts enhanced significantly.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay. What you're telling me is... The woman came in, she had some kind of augmentation done to her breasts. You noticed this, you made the comment, I just wrote this down myself, Bob. You look very becoming?
I don't know if I said becoming, I think I said you look very nice.
All right, you look very nice today, and then you had your hands in front of your chest making the rounding motions as if you're talking about...
A big chest.
Well, that's probably what did it right there.
Well, again, Phil, you're put in a very uncomfortable position as a grocery store owner when you see a woman come in that you've known for years you said the BB's on a billiard table. I mean, that's what we had joked about. And
I mean, you're joking about this woman like this behind her back?
No, I did not about her, but if you see a woman who's really flat...
You make a BB's on a billiard table joke.
Well, Mr. Hendry, it's really not very genuine of you to get all shocked. And
no, I'm not shocked. I've heard it before. I just, when you are the owner of and the manager of a grocery store, you're doing business with customers. I don't know. It just seems like you would have your head in a different place.
I really resent, and I will tell you this, I resent it when you people in the media come on the air and pretend like all of this stuff is a newsflash to you, like you do. You've never experienced it before in your life. And
I don't think I'm doing that.
Yeah, well, I believe you are, Mr. Henry. You say, I would think you'd think something else. You know, and every man listening knows.
We may know, but what I'm saying is, what's the proper behavior? That's what we're trying to establish here.
Well, I just told you what I feel the proper behavior was. She's turned around and sued me. Which, when I got the lawsuit, I had to laugh because I don't know what she's suing me for. She doesn't work for me. She came into the store, willingly.
Well, I think it's something having to do with harassment in a public facility or...
Well, I don't know. But I can tell you that I think that it is unfair and it is unrealistic to ask a man such as myself, who has money, who has a lot of people in his employ and is used to directing the actions of people, I think it's unfair to ask me to suddenly keep my mouth shut when I see a woman who had been just on a flat, oh, man. And now she walks in with Mike said a firm D. And
I don't know who Mike is.
I told you, he's the produce manager.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's qualified.
Well, okay.
You're just, you said a large chest. We're going to take a break here, Bob.
I'm not here to argue with anybody. I'm here just to say I was put in a very uncomfortable position. I did the best I could, and now I'm getting sued.
All right, well, we'll see whether it was the best you could do. You know,
what do you mean you'll see?
Well, I will, offer an opinion on that. Is it the best you can do? A woman who had been very underdeveloped or whatever, she walks into the store, she's got this enhancements going on, and Bob Green made a comment about it to her, and now she's claiming sexual harassment, and organizing not only her own lawsuit, but customers against the store. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I feel like I was taken advantage of.
Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show here, talking with Bob Green of Fraser Foods about now a lawsuit being filed against your store and against you personally, sexual harassment, because you mentioned a woman's breast enhancement. And I have to tell you, I think the manner you did it in is probably what...
I don't think so. I think it's the manner that I did it in. I did it in a way that anybody would.
Well, it's one thing. Well, I don't know. I mean, you made a motion with your hands.
I cupped my hands in front of my chest as a way of indicating to her, you know, you got bigger breasts. And I'll tell you one thing. She's tried to organize a boycott of our store. It's not been all that successful because... I think a lot of women agree with this. I think a lot of women are embarrassed by the fact that it's gotten a little ridiculous. Women go out to get breast enhancement, and then you're not supposed to say anything about it. You're supposed to just stand there and stare. And you know as well as I do, Phil, that there were days in the history of this country where standing and staring with your mouth open marked you as, and I'm using this in the clinical sense, it marked you as some kind of an imbecile. And I mean that in the
no, I understand.
And yeah, in the sense that doctors used to use that word. So if what these women want, who get their breasts enhanced, is they want us to stand there and stare like these 19th century clinical imbeciles with our mouths open. That to them is preferable to the normal comment that a man would make, which is, you know, I see that you got some work done.
Well, I believe that your real mistake was in holding your hands out in front of you and cupping your hands and making the comment about how, you know, I notice your breasts.
I don't understand what you mean by that. Are you saying...
I'm saying the hand motion, you know.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to just saying... I don't know.
Well, there you go. That's the problem.
Well, no. Let's think about this. I mean, you could probably say something about, "Oh, did you have some enhancement surgery? Maybe something like that."
Well, did you have some enhancement surgery? I don't know, Phil. I think a lot of women would probably either you're being too rude, or you sound like you're the court eunuch, or you're standing and you're staring with your mouth open. And maybe even, you know, drooling or something. I will tell you that if we were to go the way that most women want us to go on this, the National Association of Women and the rest of these groups that claim sexual harassment at every drop of the hat, they would have the men of America locked up as political imbeciles because we're standing on a street corner staring with our mouths open.
Well, I don't think anybody has ever looked at it that way, you know.
Well, they may not have looked at it that way, but that's the end result. If you don't say anything, you stand there staring like you were born an idiot out in the woods. And for...
Well, there's also not standing and staring, you know.
That's true, but if a woman has been coming into your store for 2 years, I keep going back to the story of this lady, Kalita. She's coming into your store for 2 years with the flat man, just flat-chested, and all of a sudden she's walking in like Chesty Morgan. And
Chesty Morgan, you're saying that she had her breasts enhanced to that degree?
No, not that, but I'm saying in relative terms, as I said, Mike Berg and I talked to Gabe Nowalski, they both put it at a firm D.
These guys you keep quoting.
One of them is a driver, the other guy runs the produce section. And,
right. In other words, so neither one of these guys is a doctor.
No, but I just was saying in a very
And I was using that as a way of giving you a gauge.
All right. I'm going to bring on the line right now a very prominent feminist.
Great.
Well, Bob, you knew it was going to happen. She also hosts her own radio show on public radio. Debbie Daly, she does Daly's Daily radio show and is on the line with us from New York here this evening. And just turn that down, if you wouldn't mind, bud. On the line with us tonight from New York. How are you, Debbie? I can hear you fine, yeah. Well, hold on for just a second, Debbie. I wanted to mention that Debbie is hearing impaired, and so
is that why I can't understand a word she's saying?
Yeah, she is hearing impaired, but has achieved quite a lot in her career, and I think you'll find her interesting. Go ahead, Debbie.
Sorry, I can't understand what she said.
All right, she said when you saw the lady walk in and you...
No, hold on for a minute. Am I to understand that you understand her?
I do, yeah.
Am I the only one that she doesn't...
I don't know, Bob. I understand what she said. If you want me to interpret...
Yeah, that would be really great.
She said you're being sexist.
How am I being sexist when I say that I can't understand you?
She says you're being sexist when you comment on the fact that she's hearing impaired. I can do a show like anybody else, she said.
No, I'm not being sexist. I said I can't understand what you're saying, ma'am, and I don't know how you got a radio show when I can't understand anything you're saying.
She got a radio show because she was hired by the forward-thinking people in public radio who hire people who are physically challenged, and she does a damn good job, sir.
Yeah, okay. Oh, babe.
Can I get back to what I want to say?
Is that you talking or is that her?
That's her. I'm interpreting for you. Is that what you want? She said he's a real blockhead, isn't he, Phil?
Hey, let me tell you something, Debbie Daly. I haven't insulted you. I'm just simply trying to understand what you're saying.
In a lot of ways, you've insulted me because you've insulted millions of American women for the things that you've said.
And what did I say? Millions of American women? Why? Because I commented on that one lady?
Yeah, because you said she had BBs on a billiard table. That, you know...
That insults millions of American women. I wasn't talking about millions of American women. Well?
She said that BB on a billiard table describes her, but she doesn't care. And anyway, she's a lesbian, but if she were straight, it still wouldn't bother her.
Are you kidding me? So, in other words, what we've got here is a lady who... You're flat-chested. You hate men.
Wait just a minute. How dare you say something like that? I didn't say that I hated men.
Well, you said you're a lesbian, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I hate men.
All right, well, this is the most asinine thing I've ever done in my life, talking to someone who's a radio host and I need who speaks English, by the way, and I need an interpreter. That's what public... Is that public radio?
Hold on for a minute, okay? Nobody's listening to you, Mr. Green.
Oh, man, I'd love to. I wish I had a firecracker. I'd light it right next to this chick's head.
All right, 877-877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Light a fire. Oh, boy.
That's right.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now I want to ask my guests, and I thank you very much, folks. 877-876-PHIL. I want to ask my guests. I want to ask Bob Green from Fraser Foods. I want to ask you, Debbie. Let's calm down. I know that we've had some cantankerous words here. Debbie, you have to understand, because you are impaired, you're hearing impaired, it is hard to understand you. No, hold on. Bob, by the same token, let's not get sidetracked by that, whether you think it's fair that she has a radio show or not. And let's just, you know, talk, okay?
Phil, I'm happy to do that. I just didn't know that I was going to be... she asked me some very pointed questions, and I answered them in a very pointed way, and I don't know what she's willing to answer.
She says, well, you can ask me anything, I'll answer it.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question now. You swear I can ask it.
Mr. Green, I'm asking you to respect me as a person, not as a woman, but as a person.
All right, then I'll ask this. Since you're a lesbian, is it pretty bushy down there, or...
If I had bolt cutters, I'd cut it off.
Oh, that's real great. So I asked the question...
Well, that's pretty rude, don't you think?
Well, what'd she say?
She said you knew it was rude and you're doing it on purpose.
I didn't know that it was rude. I'm asking some vital questions here because I don't know whether or not this woman has an agenda based upon her orientation against me.
Mr. Green, you were talking about a woman who had large breasts. Is that right or wrong?
That's right. What'd she say?
Hold on. She said, then you admit that you made this comment using your hands, saying, oh, it looks like your breasts were enhanced.
I do admit, yes.
Hold on for a minute. I've got to hit the can. I'll be right back. Hold on.
I can't understand you. Mr. Henry's not there. Mr. Henry is not there.
Well, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can do it.
You know how to do it, man.
Hold on. Maybe I can interpret with the daily, with the doodly daily.
Who's this? No, who's the other one?
This Bud Dickman.
Oh, great. Hey, Bud, I was expecting a call from a Carl Chedilia.
Yeah, you got him right, too.
What did you say? Well, what's she saying?
She's saying, that you were... She's saying...
Gimme, I'll do it, God.
The heck of a time for you to go in and squat one, Phil.
Oh, isn't that nice? Okay.
One hell of a time for you to pinch one off.
Hey! She said you're a crude creep and a crude slob, and there's no reason for her to be talking to you.
Call that talking?
You dirty bastard, you're a real ass.
I mean, she says that's talking? No, ma'am, that's not talking. That's what we call grunting. That's something that was done in the jungle.
Okay, Bob.
What?
It's something else they did in the jungle. They would stretch a man between four stakes over an anthill.
Well, isn't that something? I'd like to meet the group of lesbians that's going to pull me across four...
Hold on for a minute. Who do we have?
Carl Chedilia.
Bob, we have Chef Carl Chedilia on the line. You don't have to talk to him, Debbie. Hold on. Chef Chedilia is in Philadelphia tonight. Hey, Chef, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. I wanted to say hello to you, and I wanted to say to Bob that I'm going to be at the store next week. We're going to have the creamery, right?
I wanted to talk to you, Carl, because... you coming around now with that creamery demonstration and the size that you are, I've got a lawsuit I'm dealing with some woman.
What happened?
This woman's suing me because I said something about her big breasts.
Who's that?
I know, it sounds like a bee buzzing, doesn't it?
That's Debbie Daly. Debbie, hold on for a minute.
I don't sort of come around without Creeley demonstration, though.
No, I don't want you around there because I'm being sued for sexual harassment. If they see your big fat rear end, and I'm going to be honest, they see your big fat ass there, they're going to say that we're bad for people's health. I don't know what's going to go on.
Well, yeah, we're going to be doing chocolate cake, you know.
I know, but all the chocolate cake and all the cream and this and that and this and that.
It sounds pretty good. Can I come?
No, you may not. No, you may not. You come anywhere near my store, and there'll be trouble.
What are you going to do, blow my car up?
What is that, Phil, that I'm listening to right there?
No, I'm not going to blow your car up.
That is Debbie Daly. My name is Debbie Daly. I do a show on public radio.
Oh, hi, Debbie. This is Chef Carl Sedona. I would be interested to have you on the show.
I'd like to have you on the show, but I can't understand anything you're saying.
Woo-hoo! Boy, ain't that the pot calling the kettle black. Now I've heard it all. Wow.
Okay, look, Chef, have we helped you out or not?
No, I Bob said to call him up get a date nice and firm.
I can't have you out next week, Chef, because you saying that right there, let's firm up a date.
I said get a date nice and firm.
Yeah, even the word firm, you know.
A lady's suing him because you were talking about her big boobs.
Yeah, that's right. God, how come she gets to say boob and I can't?
Okay, Chef, talk to you.
Okay, so, hey, Chef Carlson, see you later.
So he was going to be out of the store, huh?
Yeah, we had a big promotion on. He was going to demonstrate how to bake chocolate cake and make ice cream and everything. I can't afford it now because he's big and he's fat, but he makes a hell of a dessert. And,
Why can't you have him there?
Because I'll tell you, Miss Daly, liberals like you would say that I'm encouraging bad eating habits, that I'm encouraging bad nutrition, and all kinds of bad stuff, and I can't run the risk with this lawsuit from this woman.
I've got nothing. What do you mean liberals like me? I got nothing against the chocolate cake.
You got nothing against the chocolate cake, huh? Well, you ought to have something against the chocolate cake. Because I'll tell you, the chocolate cakes of this world, never mind. Because you talk like you got a mouthful of fudge.
That does it. Go to hell. Do we lose Bob too? Get Bob Green back on. I knew that was going to happen, though. I'll tell you that. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, did she hang up?
She hung up on you, yeah.
Well,
you got a mouthful of fudge.
Well, what does that mean?
Didn't she probably thought you saying you got a mouthful of dew?
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what she probably thought.
I don't know what she thinks. All I'm telling you is you knew that this was going to put you in this position, and it has. So, you know, all I can tell you is good luck with the lawsuit.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Phil. I appreciate that very much, having me on the show. Putting me in front of the firing squad there from... the hearing-impaired public radio host of America with her mouth full of hot fudge. And then you tell me, good luck? Oh, baby.
Well, what do you want me to tell you, man? I mean, you have always been a guy that's had a difficult time understanding the modern social norms, you know?
No, I don't know. No, explain that to me again.
I'm telling you, there's a certain way that you talk to people, and you've always been, on our program, you've always had a problem with that.
What if, I've been in business with the public for over 30 years, so you tell me what I don't get.
Talking to a woman about her breast enhancement, hitting on women in the store, talking about corn on the cob in suggestive ways. I mean, I could go on and on. This is what you've done. Now you get Debbie Daly here on the show, and what's the first thing you ask her? Well, not the first. Hey, is it real bushy down there?
She volunteered she was a lesbian.
What's that got to do with what we're talking about? That's what I'm saying. And then on top of everything else, man, you don't seem to have a good sense for what is and what isn't acceptable in terms of promotions. This guy, Chodilia, calls up and says he's got a some kind of a chocolate cake thing he's doing.
Yeah, he's going to come into my store and make cake. Don't look, Phil, don't tell me how to promote my business, all right?
All right, I don't mean to do that, but I'm going to offer this opinion. You should have him come out and do what he's going to do.
Then they're going to say that the guy who's making comments about women's boobs has got a fat ass making chocolate cake
trying to give everybody a heart attack.
That's what you think they're going to say. I think what they're going to say is, for people who enjoy the odd dessert, here it is.
Yeah, well, odd dessert, you said a mouthful there, if you'll pardon the pun. Because this guy doesn't make odd desserts. I don't know what, don't, and fat God almighty.
Well, I mean, but he's successful.
Yeah, he's a big, fat, successful guy. You can't do that anymore in America.
Good luck to you, Bob.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. Good luck to you, man.
Well, what do you want me to do, man? I'm not going to try the case for you. Good luck. I hope you got a good lawyer.
I got the best.
Boy, what are you hanging up on a guy?
I hung up on him because I can't stand talking to him anymore. That's the second guy tonight that needs a lawyer. The first guy, whoever we were talking to last hour, had Harvey Wireman. He ain't going to do him any good. So there's Bob Green. Good luck to you, man, as you fight the lawsuit from the lady with the breast enhancement, and you anticipate the lawsuit from people because you got fat ass there making chocolate cake, and the lawsuit, I dare say, that Debbie Daly is going to file on one or the other of the things you said to her. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our News and Information Hour, coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're welcome. Welcome back here on the... Oh, sorry, guys. It's time for...
Yeah, you blew it.
You blew it bad, man. Start all over again.
I can't start all over. Just go ahead and hit the music.
Phil Hendry Show. It's Iron Swine.
Yeah, tonight Iron Swine is going to go to Maryland, find out about a lost Mega Million ticket.
Iron Swine's in his office one day, and all of a sudden, doodling... Oh, Iron Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine. The lady here said she had a winning ticket of a lottery.
Yeah.
And she ain't got it.
What do you want me to do about it?
You know, here, man, I think she's lying to me. I think she's lying bad.
All right.
Iron Swine come over to Maryland from his office in downtown, like New York or something.
Yeah, Iron Swine's in downtown New York.
Iron Swine flying down to... Maryland.
Where's this lady?
Ah, I'm a lady. I lost the ticket.
You're lying to me. You didn't win no ticket.
Yeah, how do you know?
How do I know you got one?
Because these people here and here and here and here, they all, didn't you see me all buy a ticket, y'all?
Did he buy a ticket for you, or is he lying? No, he didn't buy a ticket.
No, he didn't buy a ticket for me.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no, he did, yeah.
Okay, these people think you're lying.
And finally, Iron Swine found a ticket.
Here's a ticket here. It's not even a winning number, you dummy. It's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and your Mega Million number is like 212.
212, yeah.
Yeah. Iron Swine wins again. Finds out the lady's full of crap.
Thanks a lot, Iron Swine. I hope you're going to come back and see us another time.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I think you're real cute, Iron Swine. I wouldn't mind marrying you.
Sorry, I don't believe in interracial marriage.
Hey.
Ow!
Shut up, man. All right, that's Iron Swine.
You gotta drop that in for, man.
That is just comic relief.
Comic relief. Bud, you're walking comic relief.
Yeah, you said that.
All right, so what do you got, Bud?
All right, you're asking about love songs that was written for guys.
Yeah, well, Dan and I were talking. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, hold on, bud. PhilHendryShow.com for your backstage pass, for your daily videocasts, your daily podcasts. It's all there for our backstage pass members, PhilHendryShow.com. And what did I want to tell you? Oh, we've got an exciting, exciting year ahead for all of you. Our products, your Apple, your iPhone, and your iPad products will now be able to support our media. And the reason why it took us as long as it did, folks, is quite frankly, we wanted to go with the right vendors on this. There's all kinds of people out there that are saying, we can help your website have all of this and that and that. And no. But that's just the beginning of some of the exciting stuff that we've got planned at PhilHendryShow.com, including possibly a price decrease, possibly. If nothing else, our current subscribers will remain at their rate, as we have done. I don't know if you know this or not, but when we raised our subscription rate back a year ago, it's been a year now, our original Backstage Pass family, our first-generation family, they stay at the original price.
What was that?
I think our original price is $6.95. $6.95, that's what they stay at. So our second generation of BSPs, they will remain at $10.95. Now, I'm not saying we're contemplating a price increase, folks, but there's just some things that are going to be ahead that will benefit me and not you. I'll make more money, and you'll sit there and pay me for it. No, I'm joking. It's very exciting. We'll let you know. So what do you got, bud?
All right, tell me, you want a love song that was written for a guy?
Yeah, we got all these love songs that are written for girls. Are there any songs with guys?
Yeah, I found this. This is a song, and it's a love song that was a hit, I think, in 1964.
1964-2.
We don't know the year. Yeah, nobody knows the year.
What do you mean nobody knows the year?
Because there's no real reliable evidence of what year. Yeah.
Well, what? Okay, so play it.
Yeah, this is a song by Sue Thompson. Sue Thompson called Norman, and here it is.
What is this called?
It's called Norman.
Yeah, called Norman. About a guy named Norman.
Norman.
Oh, Norman.
Yeah. See, that's the guy she's singing about there is Norman.
Yeah. She's going to sing about how...
Norman. I get it. Norman.
Yeah, that's his name.
Jimmy,
really? Well, guess what
phone,
happened?
What?
Well, it turns out that as she was singing the song for Norman, he was also cleaning his gun. Did you know that?
What are you talking about, man?
What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You killed her. You killed the lady.
It's a sound effect, bud.
Yeah.
But still, that shows disrespect.
You bet I killed her. I did what Norman would have done had he been in my place.
Yeah, maybe he was. That's what I'm talking. You were saying that.
Right. Had Norman been sitting there and she started to sing that song and he was cleaning his father's shotgun, he would have said, yep, that pretty much made my mind up for me. Pretty much made my mind up for me. Yeah, there ain't no doubting it now, baby. Here's a song for you, honey.
Norman.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my name. That's my name. Guess what else my name is? That's my name, baby. Meanwhile, sandbags go up in front of the house. You see the red light of the police light bouncing off the side of the stucco. And,
that SWAT team. Yeah, SWAT team show up, too.
And the SWAT team. And she lays dead, and Norman has gone mad. Okay.
That's the song.
No, I know that song. In fact, I remember that song when I was a kid. I was probably about 9 years old when that song came out, and my sister was watching American Bandstand. And any time I heard a song that was particularly jackballish like that, I'd come dancing into the room in my little 9-year-old jeans, whatever the hell I was doing, and I would just dance around and try to, you know, bug my sister. And ultimately she would scream for my mom to come and get me and beat me with a crowbar or something, and that's what happened. So.
Now, your mom beat you up with a crowbar?
No, she didn't beat me up with a crowbar, but I'm just saying that that's probably what my sister wanted me to have happen. But that song there, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my...
Yeah, what's that thing?
First of all, what's with the horns in this thing, you know? What is the thing? What is this, a polka band or something?
Yeah, I think they got like a tuba player.
What a stupid horn section, man.
Arrangements with Norman.
And she sounds like she's the bowling alley waitress or something. All right, turn it off, bud. Turn it off, bud. I said to turn it off.
You killed her, man. And all she wanted to do is fall in love with Norman.
Well, let them die together. I think it was a murder-suicide.
What are you talking about, a murder-suicide?
Play it again, man. I'll show you what I mean. I think it was a murder-suicide. I could be wrong, but... And then... That's what I mean about a murder-suicide.
Oh!
I didn't see it now.
Great.
Henry.